You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
The Bucks have lost game one in a series for the second straight time this postseason. They find themselves now down to Jimmy Butler in the red hot heat after Giannis had only 18 points and a plus minus negative 14. Giannis said adjustments must be made heading into game two. And we're now joined by Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, how much trouble are the Bucks in?
Well, I picked the Bucks to win this series in seven, but I was very close to going with Miami in the upset. I'll, of course, stay with my pick. But I do think an upset is possible for several reasons. Number one, where are the Bucks at mentally? Now, Miami has beaten them now three out of the four times they've played this season, including the regular season. So what are the Bucks thinking now? George Hill, their spiritual leader, he hasn't won anything. None of these guys have won anything. So Giannis is their leader. He's young. He has yet to, you know, get to the finals and win a championship. Then you got other guys like Kyle Korver, Dante DiVincenzo, Brooke Lopez, Eric Bledsoe. None of these guys has won at a high level. So where are they at when they look at the fact that, wow, this team has beaten us now three out of four times? These guys are used to being the hunters, not used to being the hunted. So I got to wonder where they're at mentally. Then what the Heat did to Giannis was not an aberration. Now, they're not going to hold him, obviously, to 18 points a game. But one game in the regular season, they held him to 13 points. My point being, they can force him to have two or three of these type of mediocre or bad games in a seven-game series. They've got guys that can guard him, and Bam Adebayo, Andre Iguodala, Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler. And they're well-coached and disciplined. So they can execute their game plan. A lot of teams have a good game plan, but then they lose, you know, focus, and they lose it for a few minutes or a quarter or something like that, and that's enough to lose. The Heat are disciplined. So they kept Giannis out of transition, and they walled off the paint so he couldn't get those straight-line drives, and you force someone else to beat you. Now, here's the thing for Milwaukee. The other guys played fairly well. Chris Middleton gave him 28. Brooke Lopez gave him 24. Kyle Korver shot well from three. They hit 16 threes and still lost. Now, if I'm the Bucks, though, you're understanding Jimmy Butler's going to get cold at some point. He didn't shoot it well all season. He's been hot from the perimeter in the playoffs, but he's probably going to come back to earth, at least on his jump shot, at some point soon. So I still got the Bucks, but this is going to be a long, tough series for them. And like I said, an upset is possible.
But see, Brooke Lopez getting 25 points doesn't do anything for you. You can give him 25. You don't want Giannis getting 35 and 15. That's where the damage is done. And although Middleton had 28, he had 21 in the first half. So when they needed big buckets, when they needed quality points, nobody was there to rise and shine. And the thing is with Giannis, if you can keep Giannis off the free throw line, and even if you don't, he ain't going to make a whole bunch of them. I mean, he had that streak when they played the Lakers. Remember when they played the Lakers in Milwaukee? He was, what, 5 of 8 from the three-point line? He was, like, missed only one. I think he was perfect from the free throw line. That's not Giannis. He's not a good three-point shooter. He's not a good free throw shooter. And if you can keep him out of the paint, and as you mentioned, Chris, they got guys that can guard him one-on-one if they need to. Help can come, but they got guys that can wall him off. They got sturdy body guys. Crowder, you mentioned. Iggy, Bam. Bam is tough. Bam, I love Bam's game. And Jimmy Butler is they have the right mix of a dog, a lead dog, and other guys that want to follow. And that's what you need. Jimmy Butler chose to go to Miami because the other stops that he had gone to, Minnesota, he's like, y'all weak, y'all sorry. Y'all got some talent, but you're sorry. He went to Philadelphia, he's like, y'all ain't taking it serious enough. Let me go somewhere where basketball means something to them. And he went to Miami and he found a home. I agree. Jimmy Butler, do I think he's going to get 40 again? I don't know if he'll get 35 again in the series, but he probably won't need to. If you can contain Giannis, they have enough guys that they can count on. Dragic, he can get buckets when they need to. And this kid, Hero, yeah, I like his game. I like a guy that's young but don't know he's young. He doesn't know. He don't even know he ain't supposed to be doing what he's doing in the NBA playoff game his rookie year.
By the way, Coach Spo let him finish.
Yes.
He closed last night.
Exactly.
Wow. So, Chris Broussard, I told Mr. Sharp across from me for the last week, I am leaning toward picking Miami to knock off the Milwaukee Bucks. And at the last second yesterday, I chickened out and I choked and I said Bucks in seven. And I regret that because I do now believe, I'll stick with my pick, but I do believe the Heat are going to win this series. And it's going to boil down to one team is just physically and mentally tougher than the other team. One star is definitely mentally and physically tougher than the other star. And the one star is Jimmy Butler, who I always tell Shannon, I want him in my playoff foxhole. He just knows how to win, how to fight, how to do the little things that add up to big things. And he's such a great leader of this kind of team. Mm-hmm. I love watching him because they play hard and they play right. And it's a pleasure to watch how they dismantled Milwaukee in the fourth quarter last night, and it started and finished with Jimmy Buckets. But it also started and finished with Giannis. And again, he's about to do something only two other all-time greats have done, and that's win MVP as well as Defensive Player of the Year in the same season. Mm-hmm. Jordan did it. Olajuwon did it. Giannis is about to do it. Yet, when it comes big playoff time against a team that's well-coached and mentally and physically tough, they just say no, especially in fourth quarters, to Giannis. They say, you can't come in here anymore. We will wall you off. We will frustrate you, and we will make you look ordinary and overrated because if you get to the free throw line, that's about all we're going to give you, and you can't make those. And look at those last four games last year against Toronto when they just crumbled. And in the fourth quarters, he shot 35%. He's a 55% regular season shooter because he's just going to finger roll like Wilt and make basket after basket. Mm-hmm. But Toronto said no. And last night, Miami, playing a lot of zone, just said, no, you can't come in here. And if you do, we're going to knock the ball out of your hands. And in the fourth quarter last night, Giannis goes 1 of 4, 0 for 2 from 3, 1 of 4 from the free throw line and has two big turnovers. You're going to lose. He's your superstar. A lot of people think he's the best player in the game. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it's time, I don't see it. I keep waiting, and I don't see it. Jimmy Butler always rises and shines in these kind of moments, in these kind of games. And obviously, a guy who doesn't score that much for this team just took it over down the stretch, and it was extraordinary. And then young Tyler Hero goes Hero, and he makes the dagger three, and that's who those Heat are, and that's why I believe the Bucks are about to be history.
Yeah, I picked Toronto to win the East to beat the Bucks in the conference finals. Obviously, that's a round later. But you might be right, Skip, and I kind of felt the same way at the last minute. I said, you know what, I'm going to stick with the Bucks. But if you watch them, they don't play many close games. We know they had this they won by an average of, 11 or 12 points a game in the regular season. They had the fewest close games of any team in the playoffs. But when you watch them, when they were in a tough game, Giannis was not the go-to guy.
No. Nope.
They go to ball movement because he doesn't have a go-to shot, a go-to move.
Right.
He's obviously not going to shoot the jumper that well, and you'll give it to him to shoot the J or shoot the three. And on another note, this team kind of reminds me of LeBron in Cleveland his first go-round before he went to Miami, where they were tremendous in the regular season. Remember, they won 66 games and then 61 games, and then they flamed out in the playoffs. Now, LeBron delivered. Unlike Giannis, like, LeBron never had these types of games that I remember where, like Giannis, and he never really got the help of two guys scoring 24-plus points and things like that. However, the supporting cast are similar. With all due respect to Middleton and Lopez and these guys, they're not ready for prime time. Middleton, as good as he is he the second best player on a championship team? Kind of like it was Antoine Jameson, Mo Williams, and, you know, guys, Zajunas, guys like LeBron had. Yeah, so it's a very similar situation. Now, here's the question. Everybody's wondering, is Giannis going to stay in Milwaukee? He could hit a point like LeBron where he's like, I got to get some help, you know, if I'm going to win the championship, because now he's of that ilk. You mentioned the awards, Skip, with Jordan and Olajuwon. He's hit that level where every year he doesn't win his first championship, it's going to be more and more pressure on him. And then we're going to stop looking at him as being so great and start criticizing him more. And so that's where the pressure comes to maybe go elsewhere or something like that.
Well, he's definitely not going to get anybody to come join him in Milwaukee. So you can forget that. Right. So he's going to have to go somewhere. And as you mentioned, like LeBron in Cleveland the first time around, so what did they do? Well, we're going to keep LeBron butt out the paint. Now, I believe LeBron can shoot the ball at this stage better than Giannis could. But they say, you know what? Varejão, Ilgauskas, you other guys, if you want to make shots, have at it. And sometimes LeBron was still going for 40, and they still couldn't win. So they're definitely not going to win if Giannis only has 18. But like you said, I'll concede that to Brook Lopez. I'll give him his 25. Have at it. I just need to keep Giannis 35 and 15, not 40 and 18. I can't let him do that. And as long as you don't let him do that, you make him shoot jump shots. If you want to go, if you want to shoot three, you want to go five, you can go 5 or 7 from the three-point line. Can you go 12 or 15 from the free throw line? Well, Giannis, y'all going to win. But you're not going to Euro step and dunk and lay the ball up, finger roll it. You're not going to do all that. The little baby, little 8-footer, that's not happening. Good luck outside the paint. Mm.
So one last point. If, in fact, this is the defensive player of the year, this is just me, and maybe it's a little bit of a reach, but I don't see the takeover intangibles in Giannis where he's like, I'm going to get us home in this game. I wanted to see him just a couple of trips say, I got Jimmy Butler. Again, I know he's taller than Jimmy.
Yeah, he's more of a help defender than Skip.
But listen, he's so long and he's so athletic. If you're that guy, you say, when Jimmy is going buckets, Jimmy buckets, you just say, this time I got him. Because you can go out and just, with your length, you can bother him or you can shake him up because you're out in his face. One time, I don't see that from him. If he's only a help defender, how is he the defensive player of the year?
They asked him that question last night. He got upset. Yep. So he going to be upset that you mentioned that because they asked him why when Jimmy got it going. He's like, they do what he did what the coach was asking him to do.
The coach says. Well, that's not the leader of the team. That's not a guy who says, I got this.
No. Yeah, you got to take on that responsibility. If you're the leader, because we've seen LeBron, I've got, you know, at every stop, LeBron, I got him. You see Kawhi, I've got him. You know, I guarantee you, if Giannis had it going, Jimmy Butler going to say, I got it.
He would. No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
The Thunder, led by Chris Paul's 28 points, locked down a 104-100 win last night against the Rockets to force a Game 7. James Harden led the Rockets with 32, but went 3-for-11 from beyond the arc. Houston had a chance to tie or take the lead with under 10 seconds left, but Russell Westbrook turned the ball over on a bad pass to effectively clinch the game for OKC. Chris Broussard still with us. Chris, did the Thunder win it, or did the Rockets lose this one?
I was on the First Things First earlier this morning, and I praised Chris Paul, and he was tremendous. Look, he's the best clutch player this season in the NBA, and he certainly was that last night. He was terrific. 8 of their last 12 points, 14 points in the fourth quarter. But all that said, when you have the most talented team, in most cases, when you have the most talented team, when you've got two Hall of Fame superstars versus one, then if you lose, it is typically your fault. And I think that was the case last night with the Houston Rockets. Obviously, we can jump on Russ. He was just bad all night. He had two turnovers in the last 90 seconds, missed the layup, threw up an air ball, all of that. But I also have to look at Mike D'Antoni. And we know Mike D'Antoni does not make many adjustments, right? If you're shooting a three and you miss 15 straight, you miss 18 straight, he's going to tell you to keep shooting. Don't go inside. Don't drive. Don't get a mid-range shot. Keep shooting the three. And that has often been his demise. And last night, instead of playing the game, like, there, he sees Russ is struggling. All right? It's not his night. They're down early. They're down six early in the fourth quarter. He takes Russ out for 3 minutes. The Rockets go on a 12-3 run to turn that six-point deficit into a three-point lead. He puts Russ right back in, almost as if he's not watching the game, but just because now it's time to put Russ in. I understand you usually let your stars close, and I'm not saying you couldn't put him in at the end, but let it play out a little more. See if you can ride this run a little further and put the game out of reach. He didn't do that. He goes to Russ, and the rest was history. Now, look, at the end of that game, their last possession, they're down 102-100. The biggest Russ fan, and I like Russ, I usually defend him, but the staunchest Westbrook fan knows his late-game decision-making is a problem. So why is the ball in his hands instead of James Harden's? I know Harden's had his moments, too, in the playoffs, but I would much rather have the ball in his hands than in Russ's. So I think as much credit as I want to give OKC, I think Houston killed themselves in this game.
Yeah, but for me, I'm going to stick with your original point. I gave Chris Paul the credit because for when they have the ball, when the Rockets have the ball up six with 4 minutes to go, and I'm like, they're done. Because as you said, they had the lead, and the Rockets ate that away in a matter of no time. And the next thing you know, I'm like, well, okay, you had a great run, but now it's over. And Chris Paul started dancing. He's like, hey, he had to put on his nice shoes, his nice outfit, and said, come here, James Harden, dance with me for a second. Covington, come over here at the elbow, dance with me for a second. And then he backed out beyond the three, almost stepped out of bounds, and as he hit the three, he runs by and pops Covington on the butt. And I'm like, uh-oh, y'all might be in trouble, Rockets. And I think the thing is that you mentioned that Russ in that situation. James Harden is supposed to have the ball. You have to understand, Russ has been away for 2.5 weeks. He's trying to find a rhythm, trying to get his conditioning back. And you put him back in there as if he hadn't missed a beat. I wouldn't have done that, but Chris Paul was sensational. And you mentioned his clutch buckets down the stretch. And he said something very interesting. He said, some people built for these moments. Some people shy away from it. Skip, you like basketball, but you covered a lot more football. You've seen a lot of guys go up and make spectacular catches in the first three quarters, but let it get late in the ball game. And all of a sudden, man, you know, it was just, you know, I should have caught. No. Make the catch in the fourth quarter late in the ball game like you made in the first three quarters. Chris Paul in the fourth quarter was magnificent. And if he wasn't, even with those turnovers, even as bad as Russ played down the stretch, if Chris Paul isn't great, they still don't win that game.
Yet, Mr. Sharp.
Yes.
Even though it is rare that you see a player take over a game down the stretch the way Chris Paul did on both ends of the floor.
Because right.
He stole it from James and he stole it from Russ. And then the last play, he took over the last play and he was the one that ran Russ out of the lane. And then he's going out to cover Covington.
Yeah.
I've never seen such an imprint as what Chris Paul put on that game. Obviously, he's got it in for the Rockets. He wants to show the Rockets. And unfortunately, not for the benefit of Houston, Russell Westbrook wants to show Oklahoma City, I can do this back to you. Mm-hmm. And look, this is just me. Bottom line, Russell Westbrook lost that game last night. And my point is, I believe the Rockets are better against the Thunder without Russell Westbrook. To Chris's point, you can just see what happens when he goes out of the game because it's just one-to-one then. It's one-on-one with James Harden going against Chris Paul. And right now, the Rockets play better team basketball against a team like Oklahoma City, an overachieving team, without Russ in the mix. Well, you saw what happened in the first three games of the series. Houston wins big in game one, big in game two, and had game three. And if Daniel House had hit the second free throw, they're going to be up 3-0. That's no Russ. Now, if somehow Houston survives game seven and goes on to the Lakers, they need both their superstars. They need star power versus LeBron AD star power. But in this case, Russell just plays completely out of control against his former team. And last night, he turned into Russell East, West, North, and Southbrook. He was going 1,000 miles an hour in every direction, and I couldn't watch it after a while. And if we can see the final play, D'Antoni said it was up to James. He just sits back. Whatever you guys want to do,
right,
it's up to,
right,
to James and Russ. They decided, let's run this play. You did? You wanted to run this play? This is just craziness because James is trying to pick for Russell. And it's a traffic jam of defenders in the middle of the lane. There's nowhere to go. Russell has no plan. He leaves his feet with the ball and decides, oh, maybe somebody's trailing and I'll throw it out of bounds.
Right.
And the game's over. And I thought he had one last chance to redeem himself after six turnovers already and the air ball and all the disaster plays. And instead, they don't even get a shot in the end. And it's Russ's fault. So bottom line to this game, remember, Houston's up six with 4:19 left. Up six.
And they got the ball.
And they got the ball, and they give up a 16-2 run to close the game. That's just wrong when you got two superstars, but one of them got in the way of the other one.
Well, I think the thing was, if you look at Chris Paul, what he does, Skip, this play, what they're trying to do reminds me of the Villanova, North Carolina, where the guy brings it up and the guy that took the ball out of bounds shoots the three.
Okay.
If you look
but
at Covington...
That was a call play.
But it looks like Covington is coming to the top of the key to shoot the three. Because if you look at Chris Paul noted, like you said, he was in this system. If you look at Chris Paul, he disregards... Look at the corner, P.J. Tucker. He said, forget P.J. Tucker.
Yep.
And he goes right now to Covington. Yep. But looks like Covington is coming to the top of the key to shoot the three.
Chris Paul stopped Russ's drive and went out and covered just in case he caught the pass.
Right.
Covington.
Yes.
Maybe, but it doesn't look like Russ has any plan at all to really get it back. That was like a last-second thought of, uh-oh, I'm up in the air with nowhere to go. I better dish it back.
Well, because Harden is standing there like, I thought Harden was going to set the pick and then Harden get the ball back. But he doesn't even look at Harden.
No.
One of the challenges with Russ, he's always been the strongest personality on his team and on the bench, right? Like Kevin Durant, one thing used to bother him in OKC was, you know, at the end of games, Russ is taking the ball as much as he's giving it to Durant or even more, right? And Durant, instead of going to Russ himself, give me the ball, this is my time. He wanted the coaches to do it. And Scott Brooks and the other guys weren't strong enough in their personality to tell Russ to do that. And that drove Durant crazy at times. Same thing here. D'Antoni doesn't want confrontation. And yeah, yeah. I don't know how it has to be that confrontational, but he's not going to tell Russ, give him the ball. Yeah. And Harden, who's a stronger personality, Harden or Russ? Who's going to go to Russ and say, give me the ball? Nobody. And that is part of the problem. And look, if they lose this series, I'm with Skip. They need Russ, obviously, and they got a better chance of beating the Lakers with Russ. I don't think they would beat them, but they can make it tougher on them with Russ. If they lose this series, though, think about what just happened. They were two games away or maybe a blown hamstring away from probably winning a championship in 2018. And then they trade, you know, Paul for Westbrook. Remember, as bad as Chris Paul's contract was, Westbrook has an extra year at nearly $48 million a year on that deal. What does this mean for Daryl Morey if they lose this series? What happens to Mike D'Antoni? And if you bring in another coach, how's he going to fit Westbrook and Harden together? So if they lose this series, you can't overstate the possible ramifications of this.
Well, but you're going to be stuck with this roster because you don't have any bigs. You traded Capella. So now your tallest guy is 6'7½ Covington or 6'8 Covington. So what are you going to do? But Kevin Durant should have said, hey, James Harden should have went to, hey, bro, let me get that. Let me get that off your hand. Let me get that rock off your hand. I mean, you got, hey, Chris, you don't have to, like you said, you don't have to be confrontational, but you can like, hey, bro, I'm going to get that last one. Let me have that.
So, Chris, who you got in game 7?
Well, I picked Oklahoma City in 6 just, you know, before the series. So, obviously, we always want our pick to be right. I'm going to go with OKC because I think if it's close, they were the best clutch team in the league this season, and Houston is going to have problems in a close game. So, I'm going to go with OKC.
I've been riding with these two all year. I've been rooting for them. I still think Houston just better than Oklahoma City, and they're going to win game 7 somehow.
Chris, you know why Skip is rooting, because he wants somebody, because he's already got in his mind that the Rockets with James Harden and Russ can take down the Lakers, and he doesn't want OKC because he thinks the Lakers would run through OKC.
It would be Portland all over again.
Let him fool you.
I tend to agree. Like, I don't think OKC has a prayer. I think the Lakers would be Houston, too. But I'd much rather watch the Houston Lakers series.
Huh.
So I just think there's not going to be any jazz in the series with OKC.
Watch the scene.
Oh, go James. He on one. You saw the last three games, Chris. You seen the last three games, Chris.
Talk about this series. Come on. Let's let game 7 play out first, Shannon, before you get ahead of yourself. Chris, thank you. You gave us some good stuff to think about. We'll check in with you later this week.
No mercy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This, guys, Fox NFL Sunday is back September 13th with a great slate of early games. Then it's a blockbuster in America's Game of the Week as Brady and the new look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. How about we talk about that guy, Tom Brady? The new book, The Dynasty, continues to pull the curtain back on Brady during his Patriots run and just how close he was to leaving New England in 2018. The book states, quote, Kraft knew that Belichick's methods were grinding on Brady. Kraft then attempted to clear the air by inviting both of them to his house. But according to the book, the distance between them was obvious. Kraft also met with Brady and Giselle, where Giselle expressed her frustrations to Kraft over how Belichick still treated Brady like, quote, Johnny Bleepin' Foxborough. I love that quote. Shannon, does this surprise you?
No. And before I get to the crux of my argument, I want to know why Tom Brady pillow talking. Why is he discussing what's going on at work? That ain't what we do. We don't do no pillow talking.
What are you talking about?
He pillow talking Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick cursed me out today. He put me on blast in front of the team, baby.
This is reported in a book.
Whoa.
It didn't come from Tom Brady. How do you know it came from Brady?
Whoa.
What if it came from Robert Kraft?
Stop it. Tom Brady pillow talking. He pillow talking, and you know it's Skip Bayless, and you trying to justify your pillow talking.
Maybe Giselle pillow talking.
Well, she wasn't at practice. Unless she had practice now. But, Skip, I'm not surprised by this. I've been trying to tell you this all along. And what's happening here, Tom, you don't get to say you were thinking about leaving in 2018. Coach Belichick had already tried to serve you divorce papers. So you can't say, oh, I'm getting out of this marriage. Nah, he served you first. Tom Brady never had a problem with Coach Belichick's methods until they came and sat on his door. Because he did it to Lawyer Malloy. He did it to Ty Law. He did it to Richard Seymour. He did it to Willie McGinnis. Oh, you thought because, oh, you were Tom Brady, it wasn't going to come to you. Because let me tell you what happened, Skip Bayless. Take that name off the back of the jersey. And this is in line with Coach Belichick normally does. As a player starts to age, he sees some of his production starts to slip. Coach Belichick moves on. But you can't get past the name on the back of that jersey. That's why it hurts so much. Coach Belichick has always been like this. From day one, he has not deviated. He does not allow himself to get close to players because he realizes there's going to come a time that I'm going to have to release you or I'm going to have to trade you. There's a reason why in the military, there's a reason why they don't have higher-ups fraternizing with subordinates. Because there might be a time, Skip, I'm going to have to send you into conflict. And if my judgment is cloudy, it's going to affect whether or not I'm able to do that effectively. So Coach Belichick says, I'm not going to get close to Tom Brady. I'm not going to get close to no D-lineman, no O-lineman, no linebacker, or anything. So I'm not surprised. And Mr. Kraft was trying to be, he was trying to be Switzerland as best he could. He tried to stay neutral, Skip. But at some point in time, he was going to have to make a decision. He was going to have to cross the line one way or another. He was going to have to side with Coach Belichick, or he was going to have to side with Tom Brady. That was his only choice, Skip. There was no other way around it. We've been talking about this since Seth Wickersham wrote that. And I'm saying, Skip, that this is happening. And you saw it happening right before your eyes. And so, no, I am not surprised by this, not in the least. This is who Coach Belichick is. Coach Belichick is. And if you think he was going to be any other way with Tom Brady, because Tom thought and you thought Tom Brady won 6 Super Bowls, he should be able to go out whenever he wants to. Coach Belichick says, you know what? I put this together. Tom Brady is not staying up late at night while he pillow talking and telling what I'm doing to Giselle. Me and my staff is trying to put together the best roster, the best future players that we possibly can. So, no, I'm in charge. Get to stepping.
You can talk all you want about Lawyer Malloy and Richard Seymour. This is the GOAT you're talking
See?
About.
Take the it's name the off the GOAT. Back of the jersey.
It's
take,
the GOAT.
Take the name off the back of the jersey. You can't. You can't do it, Skip.
It's number 12. It's the greatest quarterback who ever played, and he's treated like that. That was Giselle's point, and she's right on the money.
Yes.
She's throwing it right in his face, in Robert Kraft's face.
Yeah. But take that, Coach Belichick.
This is the most extraordinary battle for credit, this side of Jerry versus Jimmy in Dallas.
This so might be more so.
Well, I was going to say, the magnitude here is so much greater because Jerry fired Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, after they had won back-to-back Super Bowls together,
right.
And he finally just couldn't take Jimmy anymore because Jimmy wouldn't give him enough credit and wouldn't treat him with any respect behind the scenes.
Right.
In this case, this went on for much longer at a much higher level.
Right.
Because remember, this was after the 2017 season Super Bowl, the one in which Brady had cut his hand open on a handoff. You say it was something in a home accident.
Right.
That's your take on it. But they sewed his hand up. They did surgery on his hand. He beat Jacksonville, come from 20-10 down in the fourth quarter with 138 yards passing and 2 touchdowns to lead them back to that Super Bowl. 2 weeks later, he throws for 505, an all-time playoff record for any playoff game. They give up 41 to Nick Foles and lose 41-33.
Correct.
And remember, that was when Tom Brady came out here to do a conference. It was a paid gig, obviously, in Santa Monica. And Jim Gray did the moderating and asked him, do you feel the appropriate gratitude from Belichick? And he threw in Robert Kraft. And Brady said, I plead the fifth.
Right.
Which was about the most shocking thing I'd ever heard Tom Brady say because
right.
he says next to nothing
right.
publicly. And then Jim Gray asked him, are you happy? And Tom Brady said, I have my moments. Well, this is right in this period in which
yes.
they're going to war behind
right.
the scenes. They're having these nightly mediations at Robert Kraft's house, one between Brady and Belichick, where they sat on kind of opposite sides of the room, and he tried to talk them both down off their positions to see if we can do this again. Well, they did do it again after Brady had, Belichick had tried to trade him at the trade deadline, obviously forced to trade Jimmy G, gave him away to San Francisco out of spite, I believe, for a second-round pick. But remember, after that, the next year, Tom Brady went to Mahomes' house and completed three straight third and 10 passes in overtime at Kansas City to get them to a Super Bowl they won. Now, finally, the defense came to play in that Super Bowl, and it was more defense than offense.
Right.
But Brady did direct a game-winning drive, 5 for 5, in the middle of the fourth quarter to win that game. So it kept paying off for Robert Kraft that he barely kept them together. But to me, I've told you from the start, 75% of the credit, in my view, goes to the quarterback over the coach. But the coach believes it's completely the way you see it.
I know he does.
So the coach feels like, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm going on 70 years of age. I deserve the opportunity, which he's got now.
Right.
I'm going to go win one by myself. Right. I don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. So you go wherever you want. I'm going to get the credit for this. I'm going to get full credit for this one. Whether it's with Cam Newton or Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer, I'm going to get the full credit.
Skip, what's so unusual about this is that the fact that Mr. Kraft says, you know what, I'm going to break. Because normally, Skip, you might have a feeling, but once you get into a room with that person, you start talking and you're like, you know what, we're more alike than different. And, you know, we got common.
No.
But they stayed on their platform.
They stayed.
They stayed with their. So in other words, I gained that. Nobody moved from their position.
Right. So I love how Giselle, she always defends her husband. She'll fight for him. She wanted to fight after that one Super Bowl, the second Eli Super Bowl.
Remember, she came down the elevator.
Somebody said something about her husband, and she wanted to throw down.
Oh, remember, and that was the one that Wes Welker dropped the pass, and she said he can't throw and catch. I like, whoa, Giselle!
Touché. So I got to tell you, I love this line. She's saying, how can you, after all these years, we're all the way up to post-2017 season, it's 5 Super Bowls out of 8 at that point, how can you continue to treat my husband like Johnny effing Foxborough? I love that. Like just some guy, like some guy from Foxborough.
Right.
Because in film sessions, he's still, to use her word, you're undressing, so to speak. You know, you're just ripping him to shreds in a film session. And you're treating his trainer, who's Alex Guerrero, who's pliability, you're treating him like an outcast. Remember, he threw him off the team plane.
Right. Skip, and for me, and this was always my, I'm like, I can't believe this. Because in all my years, I've never even quarterbacks that weren't of Tom Brady's caliber, but I only played with one, John Elway was a franchise superstar quarterback. But I've never heard a coach talk to a quarterback in front of the team like Coach Belichick was willing to do Tom Brady. That was the thing that shocked me because I had never heard it, never seen it in all my 14 years.
Okay.
I have been around players, they had never heard or never seen it. Only there was that possible.
I think Dan Reeves was hard on John.
Yeah, but not like that. No. Not in public, Skip. He's like, God dang it, John, you know, something like that. But to put on a film and say, John, you made a mistake. John, what the hell are you doing?
In front of the team.
What?
You can't do it.
Man, John.
Nobody's ever done it.
No.
And again, Belichick just didn't do it for the first 2 years. He's doing it into year 16, 17.
Skip, and I think Brady was accepting of that, Skip. He's like, you know what? I'm a 6th-round draft pick, won a couple of Super Bowls. But, Skip, as you get older, you're like, hold on, wait a minute. You're still talking to me like I'm a rookie. You're still talking to me like I'm a third-year guy. And at some point in time, you know, he just should have, what he should have done is just go talk to Coach Belichick. Say, Coach, I understand what you're trying to do, but what you're doing is really not effective to me. It's not helping me. It's not motivating me. Actually, it's making me dislike you. I mean, just like you said, you know, like you said Kevin Durant should have talked to Russ and other guys should have talked to Russ. I believe that's what I would have done.
Yeah. Okay. So guess what? The game is on. Belichick versus Brady, long distance. Tampa versus Foxborough. Here we go.
Hey, but I bet he won't get no calls like Jimmy G. Mm. Oh, Jimmy G be getting them calls. Good job, Jimmy. Mm. Good job, Jimmy.
Yeah, text.
Yeah. You think he's going to call Brady?
I don't think so.
Brady probably will change the numbers. And you can't. Yeah, got him on block.
Sure, he's changed his number. There will be no communication there. Their relationship will always remain so fascinating to me, what they were able to achieve, given their differences.
No mercy.
Giannis Antetokounmpo is expected to win a second straight MVP award for this season. Giannis has already won Defensive Player of the Year and would join Michael Jordan and Hakeem Olajuwon as the only players to win both in the same season. However, Giannis and the one-seed Bucks find themselves down 0-1 for the second straight series after losing to the Heat last night. So, Shannon, is Giannis overrated?
No, he just had a below-average game yesterday, Skip. Basically, in the regular season, he was 30-14-6. And in the playoff this year, he's 30-16-6. Skip, those are Shaq numbers. He's a dominant player. He had an off day, and it's easier, Skip, when you get to the playoffs if you're just on an island. Because as Chris Middleton is an all-star, we don't look at Chris Middleton as a superstar. We don't look at him as an Anthony Davis. If you look at LeBron, once he got Kyrie, it became a lot more difficult for you to take LeBron away because you had to worry about Kyrie cooking you. When he went to Miami, you tried to take LeBron away, he had D-Wade. So if you have a 1-2 combo, and that's what Shaq had with Kobe, a young Kobe, and I don't think anybody's going to confuse and say, well, Chris Middleton is Kobe. No, he's not. He ain't going to ever be Kobe. So for me, Skip, they built the wall. They said, Giannis, you're not coming in here. They just slammed the door, so shoot over the door. You do everything you need to, but you're not coming in here. This little area out here is stay out of, caution. So that's what they're doing. But I don't think Giannis is overrated, Skip. I mean, he's freaky. I mean, 7 foot tall with a 7'3 wingspan, athletic, 2 dribbles from half court. He's at the rim, and he's getting better. He's gonna be the MVP, Skip. I think we all agree on that. A 2-time MVP. There are very few people that have won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. I think there have only been three.
Three. Jordan, Olajuwon.
And David Robinson.
No.
Before now. David Robinson won defensive, not in the same year.
Not in the same year as Jordan and Olajuwon.
Olajuwon ended up winning the championship that year also.
Yep.
So, Skip, you're talking about only 4 people total will ever have won an MVP and a Defensive Player of the Year. That's the company that Giannis is in. He's had a bad first game. But let's not write him off. Let's not, you know, put too much into it. And even last year, Skip, he was 25-12 in the playoff run. So 25-12, you like, but now he's superstar. Times. Your MVP. You get judged a little different than this just being Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. You get judged by Greek Freak. And so the criticism is a little bit more harsh.
So I guess mine's going to be over hard. But you know how I feel about the NBA playoffs. This is when you make your rep and your money.
Yeah.
You got to do it now. All those long stretches of regular season dominance, all that PER print stuff that we used to see from Anthony Davis when he was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it from Giannis now. They remind me of each other, not in games, but in impact.
Well, Skip, they say superstars are made in the regular season. Legends are made in the postseason.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
So we'll find out. We're about to find out.
I haven't seen legendary from Giannis in the postseason. And I thought about this because it reminds me, Anthony, AD in New Orleans, he never could lift that up. He was a sub-500 player in New Orleans. Well, he had some help here and there for a while. He had Boogie and he had Rondo, playoff Rondo for a while, and they won a series.
Right.
And yet, now you put him alongside your man, you got something.
Right.
Where he's a little more in his comfort zone. LeBron can put him in a basketball comfort zone. And obviously, he is a far better shooter than Giannis has so far even thought about.
Yeah, I don't know if Giannis will ever be able to shoot the ball like that.
Like that? So what if you put Giannis alongside LeBron right now? What if you swapped out? You put AD up there in Milwaukee pretty much by himself. What would the result be? Could Giannis and LeBron go places? Could they win a championship together? Maybe, but you got one big problem. AD is a free throw making machine.
Right.
And Giannis is not.
Right.
He's a sub-50% free throw shooter, and it seems like the deeper you get in the playoffs, the worse he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so could he take the spotlight? Could he share the limelight with LeBron James? I just need to see, again, something more than what we've We saw the last four games we saw him last year against Toronto. They lost four in a row after they went up 2-0.
Right.
In those four games, look at the fourth quarters. They're all close games.
Right.
Here we go again. In the fourth quarters, he shot 35%. He's a 55% regular season from the field shooter.
Right.
Because you can't say he's a freak.
Right.
He's finger rolling.
Yeah.
He's scoring at will in the lane because during the regular season, people don't play him the way they do in the postseason.
Right.
And from the free throw line, last year in those four fourth quarters, he was 5 of 13. Well, that's horrendously bad. It's not enough free throws, number one, and it's not enough makes, number two. And he was a minus 29 total plus minus in those four fourth quarters. They lost all four games, and then it happened again last night. Fourth quarter, he goes 1 of 4, 0 for 2 from 3. He was trying to do something to open up the lane, obviously. 1 of 4 from the free throw line, and he had two turnovers. And the last one came that it was pretty hopeless, but 50 seconds left, they're down 7, maybe a quick bucket, maybe you get back into it, and he tries to wheel into the lane, and Dragic is just picking his pocket.
Right.
He's just waiting on him. I got this, and they go the other way, and it's over.
Well, Skip, if the playoffs will tell you just how special you are because that team focuses all their energy on you. They don't have to worry about playing LeBron the next night or Kawhi in 3 nights. Or Kevin Durant 3 nights later, or James Harden in a week. It's all you. It's just like playoff football, Skip, because, you know, I'm watching the game, but then I got another game the next week. When I come to playoffs, guess what? I'm looking at all 16 games that you played in the regular season. I know all of your tendencies, what you're going to do in this down and distance, this area of the field, this formation. I know all of that backwards and forwards because you've done it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come playoff time, guess what? When you get to the playoffs, you're going to do what you've had the most success doing. And so I'm studying. So what do I know if the best way to beat the Bucks? Keep Giannis' butt out the lane.
Okay.
Make Chris Middleton. Make Brooke Lopez.
Okay.
Make those other guys beat you.
So here came Toronto. Well coached. Nick Nurse. A lot of length.
Yes.
Mentally tough. Physical players. Mm-hmm. Let's line them up across shoulder to shoulder. You can't come in here.
Yeah.
What you got? Show me. You better have a...
Make that 15-footer. 50.
You better have it. You better have something to break up the wall.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
You better shoot over the wall.
Yes.
Everybody else has got that weapon. Anthony Davis has definitely got that weapon.
Yes.
Okay? And if you can't get over the wall, can you sort of break through it and get fouled and get to the free throw
line? Well, if you can't jump over, you better be able to shoot over it.
Okay. But what I'm saying is you can sort of run into the wall and get fouled maybe if you get some calls.
But, Skippy, yesterday he got two charging fouls because he's trying to run over it.
I know it. Okay? Even if you get to the line, you are a liability
at
the free throw line.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the grand total I see here? You're overrated. Given the fact you just did something only Jordan and Olajuwon have done before
Correct.
You.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this before, but if Jimmy Butler is going Jimmy Buckets on you, I told you, if you're that guy, a takeover guy, a special, like an all-time great on the rise, you say a couple of possessions, I got him, I'll take him.
Skip, but when I look at Giannis, I don't look at him as a great on ball. I look at him as help. Remember yesterday when he blocked Jimmy's dunk?
He did.
He came, Jimmy didn't know he was there, and he came from the weak side to block that dunk. I don't look at him like Jordan and Pippen and Kobe and LeBron when he was younger. They could sit in a chair in front of a guy.
Okay.
I don't look at him like that.
Okay, but when I compare him to Rudy Gobert, former two-time
He
can move.
He's
got athleticism at, is he seven? I don't know if he's 7 feet.
Yeah, what they listed, 6'11", yeah. 6'11", yeah. Right.
But he has agility for his height and length. So I thought maybe a couple of possessions, he'd just go out there and sit in the chair and try to defend him with length.
See, when I look at, like, when I know he's won Defensive Player of the Year, and you like you said, he and Jordan and Olajuwon, but he's not the defender Olajuwon is, was.
Olajuwon was about 6'10", maybe 6'9".
Yes,
maybe.
Yes. On the defensive end?
Boy, I don't know. I think
you think he's a better defender than Olajuwon?
Well, he's just longer. He's better in the lane, like as a help defender. Yeah. He's just so long.
Olajuwon was did.
I know.
And especially because, you know, that was a big man era. Because you had Robinson and you had Shaq and you had Patrick Ewing. That was the era of the big man back then. Now, ain't really no bigs.
What I'm saying, with that length and size, you should be dominating.
Yeah.
You should be able to even.
But Skip, he's averaging 36, 10, and 6 in the playoffs.
Okay.
That's not dominating.
Well, I just told you what he was in the fourth quarter last night with the game on the line.
You, Skip, I thought the one thing that you didn't want to be was prisoner of the moment.
Well, I've seen five straight moments.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
four against, well, I have. Four against Toronto and one against Miami.
What about this year against Orlando?
Well, what, the game won? Or this?
No, the rest of the game.
How did Orlando get in the playoffs to start with?
Right. Well, you have home field. You
know,
you
know. Yeah. It's a home field.
Yeah.
Home field advantage? Oh, yeah. Is that how it works? Okay.
No mercy.